Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Mem Vov. Before we begin the shiur, let's glance at the outside margin under which we've written our nosei topic heading, under which you see Lemi Odif Livtsoa Lapas Lezamein. The Gemara will deal with who is the choice one to lead in the Birchas Hamotzi, in the breaking of the bread, and who in leading the Zimun, the Birchas Hamazon. The Gemara opens up with a story. Rabbi Zera Cholash, Rabbi Zera took ill. Ol Lagabe Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo went to visit him. Ol is an Aramaic word to mean to go. So Rabbi Avo went to go to visit Rabbi Zera. Kibil Ole, and Rabbi Avo accepted upon himself the following. E Mispach Katino Chorachsaki Avidno Yoimo Tova Rabbonan. Mispach means get better. If he gets better, now there's a nickname here for Bizero, Katina Chorech Shaki, which is a nickname that whose explanation is found in Maseches Bava Metzia in the 7th parak. Literally means the short one with singed thighs. But for our purposes, it's a reference to Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yavol says that if he gets better, I will make a day of festivity for the Rabbonin. In other words, I'll make a festive meal in honor of that occasion. Isbach, and lo and behold, Rabbi Zera got better. Ovad Sudosuklu Rabbonin, and Rabbi Avo prepared a meal for all of the Rabbonin. Kimoto Lemishri, when time came to lead in the Birchas Hamotzi, to make the brocha and slice the bread and divide it out, Omar Lei the Rabbi Zera, Lishri Lon Mar. So Rabbi Avo turned to Rabbi Zera, we'll call Rabbi Zera the guest of honor, Rabbi Avo being the Balabayas. So he turned to Rabbi Zera and said, please lead the Birchas Hamotzi. Omar Le, Rabbi Zera said, Lo Sovar Lomor, Lahod Rabbi Yochanan, do you not hold from Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, the Omar, Bala Bayis Botzea, that the Bala Bayis, the host, the homeowner, the host, is the one that is supposed to lead in the Botzea, in the Birchas Hamotzi, in breaking the bread, in saying the bracha and giving out the bread. So Rabbi Avo, upon hearing this, Shara Luhu, accepted that, and he did thusly. Kimota Levruchi, now when Birchas Hamazon time came around, Omar Lei Nivruch Lomar. So Rabbi Avo turned to his guest of honor, Rabbi Zera, and said, would you lead in our benching? Omar Lei, Rabbi Zera said, Lo Sovar Lomar, Loha, the Rav Huna, the Min Bovel, Yomar Botseya Mivorech, do you not hold from Rav Huna's teaching that the one who led in the Birchas Hamotzi is the one that should lead in the Birchas Hamazon? So, and being that you led the Hamotzi, you Rabbi Avo, you should lead the Birchas Hamazon. Now, the Ihu Kaman Svirulei, Rabbi Avo, who turned to Rabbi Zera, what was he basing himself on? Answer: Kiha diyomer Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Avo was governed by the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan that says Baal Habayas Botzea. In other words, that's why Rabbi Avo, at the end of the day, was willing to accept the leading of the Birchas Hamotzi, because he, as Baal Habayas, should do thusly as Rabbi Yochanan teaches. But another point Rabbi Yochanan mentions: Ve'oireach mevorech. The guest is the one that should lead in the Birchas Hazimun, and in this case, Rabbi Zera is the oireach. Balabayas, and here the Gemara explains each one of these points. Balabayas botzea kidei shiv sabai and yofa. The Balabayas should lead in the Birchas Hamotzi because he will give generous portions to those assembled. If one is a guest and he's being asked to give out the food of the Baal HaBayis, so he's going to do so in small, hesitating type portions, not knowing what the mindset of the Baal HaBayis, how what his mindset is, how generous he is, how giving he is. So therefore, we put the role of that's again a bad pun when you're dealing with bread, but we put this obligation on the Baal HaBayis to lead in the Birchas HaMotzi, so that he will give generous portions, and where the guest in the same position would not have done thusly. Why does the oreach lead in the Birchas HaMazon? Kedesh yivorech leBaal HaBayis. Now, the assumption that I am making here is the assumption I've been making throughout the, especially the seventh parak when we're dealing with Birchas Zimun, is that the formal Zimun is that someone, when it came to the actual Birchas HaMazon text, would recite the text and everyone would listen and everyone would be Yotzei, and it being considered everyone's bracha. But as far as actual recitation is concerned, this was the one who was leading the zimun. So the oreach is expected to say the zimun to lead in the recitation of the Birchas HaMazon, so that he will be able to recite the bracha that's due, the blessing due to the owner. And this will become clear as we go into the actual text of that bracha, Mai Mevorech. What's the text of that bracha? So, Yehi Rotzon Shelo Yevosh Baal HaBayis B'Olam HaZeh V'li Kolem Le'Olam HaBo. May it be the will of heaven that the homeowner, the host, shall not experience embarrassment, not in this world, nor shame in the world to come. For Rebbe Moisif Ba Dvorim, Rebbe adds to the text the following text, which is lasts about five lines of Gemara. We have it in quotation marks. The Yitzlach Ma'oid B'chol Nechasov, and the wish, the prayer that the Baal HaBayis should be successful in all his financial endeavors, his properties, that his properties and our properties should be close to towns so we can keep an eye on them easily. And the sultan should not have rule over his production nor our production. He shouldn't encounter any sinful thoughts from now forever. The Gemara now continues with another topic, Ad Hechon Birchas Azimun. And under our topic heading in the margin, in fact, we've recorded this thusly. Ad Hechon Birchas Azimun, Shetzrichim Shloisho Shnaim Lo Yomruha. Up to what point is what we would classify as Birchas Azimun? And following Rashi's pshat, now there's a major machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos on this, on interpreting this particular Gemara, but we're going to stick right now, being that we're learning our Daf Gemara, Mirza Shem, and our Tosfos here will delve into Tosfos' approach, but right now we're focusing on Rashi, and the issue is that up till what point is Birchas HaZimun, that for that we require three, and that when there are only two, you would not say it. So the Gemara, Ad Heichon Birchas HaZimun, Rav Nachman Omar Ad Nivorech, meaning the opening passages where the leader says Rabosai Nevorech, and then there's a response Boruch Shalchanu Mishalov Tevochainu. So up till that point is called the Birchas HaZimun. Only three will be able to recite that, but if they're less than three, that is deleted. The Rav Sheshes Omar Ad Hazon. That would mean that not only those opening passages, but the entire first bracha of Birchas HaMazon is actually part of the Zimun. This is the very point that Tosfos finds extremely difficult with the pshat that we're saying. How is it that you can classify that first bracha as something that would be said only if there are three, and if there are two people, you won't say it at all? But we will, as we say, leave that aside. Hopefully we have whetted everyone's appetite to, in fact, look into this topic through our Tosfos shiur. But in the meantime, the machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is Rav Nachman has a limited version of what Birchas HaZimun is, and Rav Sheshes expands it to include the first bracha of Birchas HaMazon as well, that we call Birchas HaZon. The Gemara now asks, Nemo Ketanoi. Can we say that the machlokis Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman is paralleled by an earlier machlokes tanoim, a tanaic controversy. Now, you'll notice that this is essentially a long question, our attempt to parallel the machlokes, but later the Gemara will reject this attempt, where each one, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, offer their own interpretations to these Tanaic sources, indicating through their interpretation that each one of the sources will agree with their respective opinions. So, marking wise, you'll notice we're starting this section of the Gemara with a She'ela, and it's Neimo Ketanoi, and then after this we have a Dalid that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating Dechiyah, a rejection of this suggestion. So now, the Gemara. Neimo Ketanoi, the Tani Chada, one source says, Birchas HaMazon, Shnayim Ushloisha. It's a very short source and quite obviously obscure. V'tanya idach shloisha varba. Another source says that Birchas HaMazon is 3 and 4. So now, savrua, this is an assumption, and when you see the word savrua almost all the time in the Shas, it will be rejected. So this is an assumption in order to build up our question of name or ketanoi, and that is the kulei almo hatova meitiv lav deraisahi, that the fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazon, which is called hatova meitiv, is not of a Torah origin. It's rabbinic. My lav b'chol k'mithli. Now, if we make that assumption that it's not deraisa, so then what is the machlokis or the difference between these two Tanaic sources? So would it not be as follows? Man di omar, the one that says shtayim u'shalosh kosovar ad hazon, that the zimun is until hazon, which very simply means that if you don't have three people there, you have only two people. So how many brachas of Birchas HaMazon will you be saying on a Torah level? You'll be saying two brachas, that's shtayim. That means you'll say Birchas Ha'aretz and Birchas Bonei Yerushalayim. And if you have three people present, then shalosh, then you have three brachas. That means you'll be saying Birchas Zimun, which includes Hazon, and two, you'll have Birchas Ha'aretz, and then finally Birchas Yerushalayim. So that this Deah, the one that says Shtayim Shalosh, is of the opinion that would match that of Rav Sheshes. Uman di Omar Shalosh V'Arba, the Tanaic source that said that Birchas HaMazon is 3-4, Kosovar Ad Nevorech, let's go over this. If you have two people, then they will not be reciting the opening passage of the what we call the Zimun, Rabosai Nevorech, and then until Boruch Shochan Mishloof Tevoch, you know, that they won't say, but they will say Hazon Esom Kulo, you know, Birchas Hazon, they'll say Birchas Haoretz, and they'll say Bonei Yerushalayim. That's three brachas, that's the Sholosh of that source. And if there are three people there, then Ve'arba, that would mean they'll say the opening passages as well, constituting what he calls a fourth bracha. So he is of the opinion that Ad Nevorech is Birchas Hazon, like Rav Nachman. The Gemara rejects this. Loi. Rav Nachman taratz tameh, Rav Sheshes mitaratz tameh, which basically means Rav Nachman, when looking at the Tanoim, say all Tanoim will agree with me that Birchas Zimun is until Nevorech. And Rav Sheshes will say all of the Tanoim will agree that Birchas Zimun includes Hazon. So how do each one of these Amoroim, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, deal with the two Tanaic sources? Rav Nachman mitaratz l'tameh, he goes with his reason. The kulei almo ad nevorech, all Tanoim will say that Birchas HaZimun goes only till Nevorech. Mando Amar Shosh V'Arba Shapir, the one who says three brachas, four brachas, Shapir, that works out, and we already explained that approach. Mando Amar Shtayim V'Shalosh, we're working now within Rav Nachman that the Birchas HaZimun is only including Nevorech. How do we explain Shtayim Shalosh? Umadom Shtayim Shalosh Omaloch Hocha BeBirchas Poyalim Askinon. We're dealing with workers that are sitting together. Let's say you have three workers, two workers or three workers. The Omamar, when you have workers, their Birchas HaMazon is formulated differently. Poiseach Bazon, V'Koyu B'nu Shalayim, B'Birchas Horetz. Their Birchas HaMazon is in fact made of two Doraisa brachas. Two brachas, how is that? Hazon by itself, Birchas Hazon, and the next two brachas, Birchas Haoretz and Bonus Sholayim, are fused into one bracha. So now, if you have only two workers, that's all that will be said. Basically, two brachas. If you have three workers, then they'll say Nivorech, that's the first, and then they'll say Hazon, and then this third bracha, that's 2-3. That's how we explain that the brisa that says 2-3 in accordance with or in conformity to Rav Nachman's approach. Which recognizes that Birchas Hazimun includes only the opening passage of Baruch, he calls Ad Nevorech, which is Baruch, until Baruch Shulchan Mishalo. So if you have only two workers, so you'll have only those two brachas, and if you have three, so then you'll have that opening passage as well. Rav Sheshes Metaretz L'Tameh, Rav Sheshes, who said that Birchas Hazimun includes Hazon, Dekuli Almo Ad Hazon, all Tanoim will say that Birchas Hazimun includes that first passage, the first bracha Birchas Hazimun as well. Mandar Meshtayim Shel Shapir, the one who says two brachas or three brachas, that fits in very smoothly with the scheme of Rav Sheshes, as we explained earlier. Umad Yomar Shalosh V'Arba, how do we get this inflated number according to Rav Sheshes? How do you get to, you have three brachas or four brachas? Well, Kosovar, this opinion holds that Antova Meitiv Doraisahi, that Antova Meitiv, what we call the fourth bracha, Birchas Hamazon, really is Doraisa. So now, according to that approach, if there are two people there, so they will be saying a total of three brachas, which would be Birchas Oretz, Boni Yushalayim, and Atova Meitiv. Remember, we can't, if there are only two people there and you're going with Rav Sheshes, we can't include the Birchas Hazimun. So once again, how do you get three brachas? You have Birchas Oretz, you have Birchas Boni Yushalayim, and you have the bracha of Atova Meitiv. If you've got three people there, then you'll get a total of four brachas, because you'll be saying the opening passage with Hazon. That's one. You'll then Birchas Oretz 2, Boni Yushalayim 3, and Atova Meitiv 4. At this point, the Gemara continue along these lines. On the side, we have a topic heading Nosei, Machlokes Yibrichas Atova Meitiv Doraisa. So that is a Machlokes. We've exposed ourselves to this a little bit. And the Mivneh, under the Mivneh heading, the triangles that will appear, Hoichochos Delav Doraisa. These will be proofs to show that, attempts to show, that Birchas Atova Meitiv really is not Doraisa. And if you skim ahead, just to looking, focusing at the triangles for a moment, you see the phrase as follows: Teda Tova Meitiv Lav Doraisa. Four lines from bottom, another triangle says Teda Tova Meitiv Lav Doraisa, and on Omid Beis, four lines from the top, you see again Teda Tova Meitiv Lav Doraisa. So we now continue with the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef, Teda Tova Meitiv Lav Doraisa. It should be known that it's not Min HaTorah, counter to the last suggestion that we saw in the Gemara, which according to Rav Sheshes took that Tanaic source and said 3-4 as an opinion that would say Tova Meitiv is Doraisa. So this opinion is saying, the Rav Yosef is saying, you should know it's not. Sharei Poyolim Oikrun Oisa, workers do not say it. If it were Doraisa, so why would they skip it? Why, if they're saying the other brachas, they would say that as well. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Matu Mishmei Darav Teda Datov Meitiv Lav Doraisa Sharei Poiseach Bo Beboruch V'ein Choisem Bo Beboruch. Tova Meitiv is a passage that opens with a bracha and it has no closing bracha. The Rashi points out Poiseach Bo Beboruch V'ei Doraisa He, if it were a Torah level bracha, Havias Mucho L'Chaverto, with just part of the chain of brachas that were already recited, which everyone agrees are Doraisa, and it would not have to open up with its own bracha. The Ein Poschin Baba Baruch would be Smucha L'Chaverto, would be next to its previous bracha, which was, in this case, was Bonei Yerushalayim, which is Doraisa, and Hatova Meitiv would have not opened with what we say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. It wouldn't need that. But the fact that it opens up with its own bracha indicates that it is not part of the previous chain of brachas which were Doraisa, because it is the Rabbanan. Kiddushanya, and the following Raisa deals with the structure of brachas as they appear in different forms. Kol ha-brachas kulan, poseach bohen beboruch, v'chosein bohen beboruch. Generally speaking, brachas are expected to open with a boruch and close with a brocha. Chutz, with exceptions, mi-brichas ha-peros, u-brichas ha-mitzvahs, Ubrachas Mukhl Chaverta. Well, Brichas Aperos, we say Borei Pura Eitz. That's an example of something that doesn't open and close. It opens with a bracha. There's no closing bracha. When you say Asher Kitchen Susavat Sivano, whatever, bracha on whatever, Al Natila Smulov, Al Natila Sidayim, Al Mikro Megillah, etc. So you're opening with a bracha. There's no closing bracha. Likewise, a bracha smucha lechaverta. That's a case where something opens without a bracha, but it closes with a bracha. Ubracha achrona shebekriyashma. When you look at the, let's say, MS Vyatsiv after you recite Kriyashma, there you don't have an opening, but it closes with Goal Yisrael. So of these things that we just cited, Yeshman Shepos Baruch, Veim Kosim Baruch, there are those that open with a bracha and don't close, as we explain. The Yesh, and there are those, Yeshman Shechoisein Baruch, Veim Poseh Baruch, those that close with a bracha and don't open with a bracha. For example, the case of Bracha Smucha Lechaverta, because its opening essentially is the first in the chain of brachas. That opening works for everything that follows. So, as we pointed out, let's go on in the Gemara. We're here at the second line from the top of Omid Beis. The bracha of Hatov Ameitiv, which comes on the heels of what we say in what's called Bonei Yishayim, and it was just before we get to the Hatov Ameitiv, We're reading a bracha. We're saying Baruch Ato Hashem Bonei Brachamov Yushalayim Amen. And then lo and behold, Hatov Ameitiv opens with a bracha. So that shows us Michlal de bracha b'fnei atzmohi, that even though physically it's smucha lechaverta, it's not treated as smucha lechaverta. It must be a separate entity. And why is that? Because it's not really part of the birchas hamazon in a pure sense, as Rashi says. The last smucha lechaverta she'eino mi birchas hamazon, not part of the birchas hamazon. Alal kvuras haruge beita tigno. It was a later text that was established in honor of the burial of all those that were killed in Beitar in the period of the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, of the second Beis Hamikdash. There was a massive execution of the murder of many residents of Beitar. Their bodies were left out for a long period of time, and they miraculously did not decay, and eventually had the good fortune of being buried, and over that we have this special bracha that was formulated. The Gemara continues. The Omar of Nachman Yitzchak Teda Datov Ameitiv Lav Derais. Another point in this direction that Hatov Ameitiv is not Derais. Shrei Oikunoi Saw Beveisa Avel. According to Rabbi Akiva, who will appear in this upcoming short source, you see that in a mourner's home, the Hatov Ameitiv Bracha is not recited. Kedisanya, the following source says, Mahin Omer Beisa Avel. What is recited in the Beisa Avel? Baruch Hatov Ameitiv. Rabbi Akiva Omer Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. The Gemara asks regarding the first opinion, Hatova Meitiv in Dayan Emes Lo. In other words, they say, according to the Tanakhama, you say Hatova Meitiv and you don't say Dayan Emes. Dayan Emes is the bracha that's most often associated with someone that unfortunately, Lo Aleinu, befalls them a tragedy. So one acknowledges that though it's a tragedy, the Almighty is the ultimate judge of truth, and he knows what he's doing. So it would be odd to have a bracha indicating that God bestows good on everybody and not acknowledging that he is the Dayan Emes. Elo Ema, so rather, the Tanakama's opinion really is Af Hatov Ameitiv. You say not only Dayan Emes, that's kind of like the obvious bracha to be recited in a Beis Avil in a mourner's home, but you say Hatov Ameitiv as well. What about Rabbi Akiva? You don't say Hatova Meitiv. You say only Dayana Emes, indicating that Hatova Meitiv is not of a Torah level. It's something rabbinic, and the rabbis can tell you, under these circumstances, say, and under these circumstances, don't say. Because if it was Doraisa, the Rabbanan would not have any legislation over that, and it would have been recited just like the rest of the brachas. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not Doraisa. Marzutra Iklo Lebei Rav Ashi. Rav Marzutra visited Rav Ashi Isra Bei Milsa. A passing of a close relative took place. In other words, it became a house of mourning. Pasach Ubarach, and Marsutra opened up with the following text, and you'll see we have this as a long point on the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a nun is encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of this forms the text of what he is going to say by way of a prayer. This would be the Hatova Meitiv version in the base of El, and this would conform to what the Tanakama seemed to say in the source we saw just before, where you mention Hatova Meitiv in addition to Dayan Emes. And he would say as follows, Hatova Meitiv, Kael Emes, Dayan Emes, the Almighty that bestows, that is good and bestows good, and is an honest judge, Shofet B'tzedek, he judges with justice, lokech v'mishpat, he takes away, in the case, takes away people's lives, people's souls, with justice, v'sholet bo'ilomo, and rules over the world, lasez bo kirsono, he does according to his will, ki chodroch of mishpat, all of his ways are just, shakol shelo, everything is his, v'anachnu amoy, v'avodov, we are his nation and his servants, and in all matters, we have to thank him, all matters, whether they appear as good or they don't appear as good, and to bless him. Go there, Pirtzas Yisrael, who yigdor es hapirtzazos, the one who fixes, who mends the breaches among of Israel. Obviously, the Almighty mends our breaches, so he should mend this particular breach as well. Who yigdor es hapirtzazos Yisrael lechayim, he should mend this breach for life. At this point, the Gemara asks a question, and we might as well say that the explanation of what is being asked here is itself a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos. Lehechon hu chozer. So, if we glance at the Tosfos, lehechon hu chozer, pirush Rashi. Dekoi le'echod, this is referring to someone deposik l'shnayim u'mamtin le'achirim ad hazon. Someone who had, three people had been eating a meal, and one stopped for the benefit of two that wanted to stop. So he waits for them, u'mamtin le'achirim ad hazon. He waits for them until they get to, until they recite birchas hazon, the first bracha, and then he goes, and then he's finished with his obligation of waiting for them. V'heichon chozer l'achar sudaso. So, where does this individual go back when he finishes his own meal? After all, he was taking a longer time with his meal. He broke. He stopped for them, for those two guys that stopped earlier. Where now at the end of his meal does he go back to the birchas hamazon? So, Rabbanan Amri l'mokum shepasak. Rabbanan will tell you to where he had left off. V'chos l'mokum shepasak, and that's the way the halacha goes. That's as far as Rashi's pshat is concerned, based on what we'll see in the Gemara. V'teima, but Tosfos asks, "The imkain hechi hilchasa l'mokum shepasak achrei she'ochal v'achar kach pshiti yachzor afilu azon d'ho azon d'oraisa." Tosfos's problem with Rashi's pshat is, if you're saying that he had waited for them when he initially stopped early for their benefit, he waited till hazon. And the Rabbanan in the Gemara rule that, well, he goes back to where he to the point he paused. So he paused up to Lazon. So you have this guy who continued eating the meal after they finished, after he paused for them, he goes back to eating. And he is not going to be saying Birchas Hazon, because Lamokom Shabbosak means to the point that he made a break. And he made a break up till Hazon, or includes on. Now he picks up where he left off. Where he left off in waiting for them. So what do you mean? This fellow who just continued eating a meal, he's not going to say, he himself isn't going to say Birchas Hazon. Hazon is Doraisa. Al Korchach Tzorch Lomar, so Tosfos says, Dekoi, Ahod Amrino Liel, De Mevorach Omer, Nevorach Shochal Mishalo. This, the Heichon Uchozer, is going on the Birchas Hazimun, which is essentially a type of give and take, a responsive reading. So it's going on that case, and where it says the Hamavorach Omer Nevorech Shochanu Mishalo, VaHamesubin Onin, the Mesubin, the people that say after he says the Mevorach, the one who's leading, says Nevorech Shochanu Mishalo, let us bless the one from whom we ate, VaHamesubin Omer Boruch Shochanu Mishalo Uvtevochayinu, and they say, so blessed be he from whom we ate. Lahechon hu chozer hamavorch la'achar she'ano mesubin. The question here is, where does the mavorch, the one who was leading, what does he say after they said boruch she'achano mishalov tivochayino? So you have the two opinions in the Gemara. Chozer l'rosh shamavorch chozer ve'omer nevorech she'achano mishalov tivochayino. Rabbanan amri lemokam she'posak she'omer boruch she'achano mishalov ve'chein hilchasa. So it's Tosfos says it's all a matter of where the mevorech goes to when he is after the participants said Baruch Shachan Mishalov Tevochayino. So now we go into the Gemara Lehechon Hu Chozer, and as we said, this is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So Rav Zvid Mishmei Dabaye Omar Chozer LeRosh. He goes back to the beginning, and Rabbonon Amri LeMokom Sheposak, to the point that he left off. V'hilchasa l'mokom she'posak, and the Gemara rules that he goes to the point that he left off. As we look on in the Gemara, we have new markings. You see diamonds that appear, and we have a nosei mivneh heading. The diamonds in the Gemara text are shnei deos heichon moshivin anoshim suda, how people are positioned in the meal. Meichon maschilin, and also we will discuss from where do we begin the mayim rishonim and the mayim achronim. Who's the first to wash his hands at the beginning of the meal, and who is the first to wash his hands at the end of the meal? What we call mayim achronim. Omarle, the Gemara has Omarle reish gelusa l'Rav Sheshes. The reish gelusa, the exilarch, the head of the Jewish community in the diaspora, says to Rav Sheshes, Afagav de Rabbanan Kshishiyatun, even though you're elderly rabbis, you're knowledgeable, you're scholars, Parsoi b'tzorchi suga b'ki menaychu. The Persians, when it comes to a matter of meal behavior, are more expert than you are. So what we have is an unusual marking. It's a dashed frame it doesn't appear in the Gemara necessarily as it's not really a Tanaic source, but our marking is done this way so that we can contrast this with an authentic Tanaic source that appears later that doesn't represent the Persian Derech, which this dash source does, but rather the approach that Rav Sheshes will represent. So in order to be able to keep these two called approaches clear, we decided to use this unconventional marking, this dashed frame. So the Reish Galusa explains how the Persians set themselves up in a meal. Before we begin, just let us note, if we can all attempt to picture the following. Picture a row of reclining beds, set up railroad train. Head to toe, the beds lined up in that form. And the lengths of the beds are lined up, one following the other, as a train is lined up. So the source, where we'll call it this, the practice that the Persians have is as follows. Bisman shehein shtei mitos. If there are two beds, in other words, there are two people that are eating, and inevitably when you have several people, one person is greater than the next guy. So bisman shehein shtei mitos, when you have two beds, godol mesev barosh. Barosh means first. He's the first to recline, like it's a matter of decorum, of etiquette. He is the first to assume his position. Vesheni lo lamalo hemenu. The next person to recline, he goes on the bed. Now lamalo means literally above, but we're dealing on a flat plane because a lateral measure. So that means the head of the bed of the godol is adjacent to the feet of the bed, and of course of the person who is the lesser individual who is above him. Ubizman shehem shalosh, when there are three people, so godol meisav ve'emsa, the godol, the greatest of these three people, is positioned in the middle. Sheni lo lamalo himenu, the second in level is above. Shlishi lo lamato himenu, and the third the least of the of these three people is positioned below, so that the third person's head will be adjacent to the feet of the middle individual, who is the gadol. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes asks the Reish Galusa, V'chiboy ishtuye bahadei. Let's say the gadol, he wants to talk. He wants to converse. Now, it's also, maybe we should assume in this Gemara that when you have people of the varying ranks, it's it would be expected that the greater is the one that converses or speaks with the lesser and not the other way around. So that we're talking in terms of, let's say, issuing orders or making statements. People know their position, if you will, and the greater or the greatest of the people, he is the speaker and the others are let's say, listening. So, Omar Le, V'chiboy ishtuye bahadei, when the greater person wants to speak, so, Mitras Trutzi V'yosef V'mishtuye bahadei, does he have to sit up in order to communicate to the guy, to the fellow above him? The Rashi says, across from here, says, V'chiboy ishtuye Mitras Trutzi V'yosef V'imrotza ha'golo l'dabri im shenilof, the greater one wants to speak to the second fellow. Tzorchu lizkoif asmo, does he have to trouble himself? And from Mimisibaso, from his reclining position, Leishiv Zokuf, the Chosman Shumute, as long as he is reclining, bearing in mind, of course, that his head is opposite the, was adjacent to the feet of this second fellow. So Chosman, he's Mute, he's reclining, Eino Yochel Adabir, Imelefisha Sheni Lo, Achore Rosho, Shel Godol, who? The second fellow is in back of the head, so to speak, of the gadol, of the greater person. And the greater man, his face is facing another direction. It's not facing the second fellow. It would make more sense that the second level guy, the lesser fellow, should be reclining at the feet of the gadol, and here he'll be able to hear the greater person speaking, because in that position the greater person's face, he is in a manner of speaking facing, he can see the fellow who is below his feet. So Rav Sheshes is raising an objection to the way of the parsoi. He is inconvenient. The parsoi way would appear to be inconveniencing the Adam Gadol, the greater person. Amale, the Reish Galusa answers, Shiny Parsoi. Well, the Persians are different. The Machvi Le B'mochog. Their method of communication was not through speech. They used hand gestures to communicate with one another. So the Gadol would simply, all he'd have to do if he wants to communicate a thought, an idea, or a command to the guy above him, to the lesser fellow above him, he would just raise his hand and make his hand gestures, and the fellow above him would see that, and the message would be communicated. There's another approach that's taken, and that of Rav Sheshes, and that's found by the where you see the next diamond. So that if one wants to appreciate this Gemara as a type of continuum, one can use the brackets that we've provided here, with the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to show you where the brackets open and close. So, now that you know that's the structure, that's what's coming up, it's not so urgent that we skip to get to Rav Sheshes, and now we go through the bracketed section. Mayim Rishonim Mehechon Maschilin. Who is the, literally it's from the first waters, from where do they begin, but it really means who is the first to wash his hands? Omar Le Min Hagodol. From the greatest of the people, he should wash his hands first. Now this is a washing of the hands in anticipation of eating bread. So now a question is raised on that practice, on that practice of having the first, the greatest, the gadol, doing the first of the washing, being the first to wash. So the Gemara asks, Yeshev gadol vishmor yodov ad shenot lin kulan. Are you expecting the the Godol to sit there and watch his hands, meaning make sure they don't come into contact with anything that would ruin his washing, whether it's dirt or possibly tumah. She should just wait there until they all wash their hands. Isn't that a type of belittling or troubling of the Godol, of the important person? Amalei, so he answers, La'alter maisu tako kamei. They were served private individual tables, so that as soon as he finished washing, he received, his table was brought to him with his food on it, so he wasn't waiting for anybody. Rashi says, La'alter maisu tako kamei, shulchan shalom avien miyad lefano viochel, lufnei kol echa vechon hoyu mevien shulchan katon. In front of each person, as soon as they finished washing, they would be brought their own table. So you don't have a problem here of people waiting for others. The next point in the Gemara, Mayim Achroinim Meichon Maskin, who is the first to wash the water, the washing that takes place after the meal before the Birchas Hamazon? Amale Min Hakotan, the least of the people, does the first Mayim Achroinim. The Gemara then asks, V'gadol Yosef Yadav Mizuamo Yis'ad Shenot L'Kulan. So the greatest of the person has to sit and wait there with his dirty hands until everyone washes. Amale, so he answers, Lo misalki takami kame. They don't remove the table with his food on it. Ad dinimti maya legabe, until the water for the mayim achronim reaches him. So he's not sitting there waiting, doing nothing with his filthy hands. He's able to continue eating until the time for him to wash actually comes up. Omar Rav Sheshes, Ano Masnisi Yodana. Rav Sheshes, after hearing the Reish Galusa presenting the Persian way of dealing with meals and the whatever their etiquette was, he says, well, I know a Tanaic source, Desanya, and we have a frame around it which features these topics. The topic of the positioning of the people, and the also dealing with the Mayim Mayim Rishonim and the Mayim Achronim. Desanya, Ketzad Seder Hasova. How are people to be set up in their reclining positions for eating? So Bizman Shehen Shtei Mitos, when there are two beds and that represents two people eating. So Godol Mesev Rosh Vesheni Lo, and we dashed underline this so you can see the contrast between the Rav Sheshes approach and the Reish Galusa approach. He says, "V'sheni lo l'mata meno." The second level person is to the is his head. His head is to the feet of the upper of the higher level person. Bisman shein sholosh mitos. When you have three, so here you will see that they really are the same. He says, "Godol mesiv barosh, sheni lo l'malo heimenu, shlishi lo l'mata heimenu." The word mesiv barosh means, as we said earlier, the greatest of the three. He reclines first. The second fellow is above him, and that's what the Persians had as well, and the third level fellow is below the middle guy, also like the Persians. And with the markings, our hope is that you can see, you know, even though we're dealing with Gemara with numerous variables, but you're able to see the point of difference and the points of similarity much more easily. And the source that Rav Sheshes has continues with the topics of Mayim Rishonim Achronim. Mayim Rishonim Maschilim Min HaGodol. The first to wash his hands is the Godol, which we can point out also was the Persian way as well. And Mayim Achronim, with regard to Mayim Achronim, here you'll see greater detail. Bizman Shehem Chamisha, when there are five people all together, Maschilim Min HaGodol, the Godol is the first one to wash the Mayim Achronim. Bizman Shehem Mea, when there are 100, when there are 100, meaning there's a number greater than five, so then Maschilim Min HaKotan, the first of the 100 will be the least of the people, and they'll work their way up. Ad shemagim etzal chamisha, until they get to number 95. In other words, the last five people. When you get to the last five people, you're not going to continue in the same order of keeping like working your way up. But at that point, the chozim maschilim min hagodol, the godol, the greatest of them, will start at that fifth to end position. He'll be, let's say, number 96 to wash. Ulamokum shemayim achronim chozerin l'sham brocha chozeres. That's a reference to this move of the mayim achronim being brought to the last of the the first one in the last five people, that's the idea of Lemokam Shemayim Achorim Chozrim, so that's who will lead in the bracha. There's a Rashi under the Gemara says Lemokam Shemayim Achorim Chozrim Kshe Magim Lechamisha Im Notal Hagodol, if the Gadol washed, who Mevarech? Vim Tziva Li Acher Litol Kodem Lo, who Mevarech? You could have a case where the Gadol wants to honor someone else in leading the Bracha, so he will be the one to lead the Bracha. So the one who washes at that position, we'll call the 96th position in a case of 100 people, the first of the last five to wash, he is the one that will lead in the Birchas HaMazon. So it would seem to, in the case that Rashi mentions before, if let's say you have the Olam Gomel there, wants to honor someone else, so he will be the one to wash at that 96th position with the first of those last five. The Gemara continues. Messiah lay, Lerav, this Tanaic source supports Rav's teaching. Yom Rabchia bar Ashi Yom Rav, Kol Anoitel Yodov Vachrona Tchila, he who does the Mayim Achronim, the first one of the Mayim Achronim washers, who Mizuman Lebracha, he's the one that will recite the Birchas HaMazon. And again, when we say the first one to wash the Mayim Achronim, we're talking about that if there are five people altogether, it is the first one, literally. If it's more than that, so then it will be the first of the last five washers. And the Gemara now presents a little incident, something that we have seen before in this, in our Gemara. Rav Rebchia Havayasvi Besudasa Kamei de Rebbe. So you have three people mentioned here. Rav and his uncle Rebchia were sitting at a meal in the presence of Rebbe. Omar Le Rebbe LeRav. Rebbe turns to Rav and says, Kumoshi Yoloch, get up, wash your hands. Chazi de Komirsas. So Rebchia noticed that his nephew Rav was fear struck. He was nervous. Rav got nervous because he thought that Rebbe was pointing out, you know, hey, you with the dirty hands, you gotta wash. So he became nervous, afraid. Omar Lei. So Rav Chia tells Rav, he says, Bar Pachti, Ayin Berichas Limazonu Kamaloch. Bar Pachti is a title of a complimentary title, son of wise men, meaning you are a smart person. What Rebbe is telling you is he wants you Ayin Berichas Limazonu, means he wants you to lead in the Berichas Limazonu. And he's indicating that by telling you to be the first to wash the Mayim Achronim, because the first one to wash the Mayim Achronim, he is the one that leads the Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara has a Tanaic source in which the issue of Mayim, of Netilas Yadayim, of Mayim Achronim, is mentioned. Before we go further in the Gemara, we just note at the side under our topic heading, Matzavim She'ein Tzorech Lahagdim Lefonov Adam Mechubad. There are cases where, even though you're in the company of an honored person, an honorable person, you don't have to give him priority or precedence, as we will shortly see. Torah on Ein Mechabdin Lo Bedrochim Lo Bedshorim. Rashi says Ein Mechabdin Lomar Haye Atokodem. You don't show honor in these cases by saying you go first. Lo bedrochim, Rashi says, holchi drochim, people on a road, on a trip, lomar legodol haymenu leich lefonai. You can imagine people walking together or trotting along on a horse, and you have an olam godol there. You say, you go ahead. Could say the same type of thing on a freeway as well. But so when you're dealing with drochim, with roads, signs of etiquette and propriety do not have to be demonstrated. And likewise, velo bikshorim, and while crossing bridges, velo biyadayim mizuamos. And this is where the tie-in. We're at the very top of daf mem zayin, and he says, and likewise, not with regard to mayim achronim. Yadayim mizuamos means dirty hands. So that if you are dealing with mayim achronim, coming to wash hands at the end of a meal, and let's say you find yourself standing next to an important person near the source of water, you don't have to say to the important person, you go ahead of me. The Gemara continues at the top line of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Ravin v'Abai have a ko'azli b'urcha. Ravin Abai were on the road. Kadmei chamrei de Ravin led Abai, the donkey holding Ravin went ahead of Abaye. V'lo Omar le Nezel Mar, and Ravin didn't say to Abaye, "Sir, you go ahead." Omar, Abaye, seeing this behavior or lack of behavior on the part of Ravin, said, "Midasolakaim Rabbanu Mima Rava Gasle Daite." From the time that this one referring to Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, so he seems to have become haughty. Marova is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out, "Lefi shehoya Ravin rogil lalos mibavel Eretz Yisrael v'lomar hu dvarav mishmosh Rabbi Yochanan." He was a regular traveler between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and Ravin used to communicate a lot of teachings of Rabbi Yochanan to the people in Bavel. So Abaye comments, says that from his behavior here, he's going right ahead of me. And it could be assumed from the context of this Gemara that Abaye was the acknowledged greater one. How is it that here he's going ahead of me on the road? Kimata lepischa de bekenishta, when they got to the entrance to the shul, Amale, Ravin, all of a sudden, like you could say, he wakes up and he says, "Neomar, go ahead." He now shows honor to Abaye. Amale, so Abaye says, maybe sarcastically, he says, "V'yad hashtalav more ano, and until now I'm not your master. I'm not. Why now are you deciding to honor me? And up till now, no." Amale, so Ravin says, "Hochi Amar Rabbi Yochanan," and you can notice here why Rashi quoted before that Ravin was someone who used to communicate teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. Here you can appreciate it all the more. Ravin says, "Well, thusly Rabbi Yochanan teaches, Ein mechavdin elo bepesach shiyesh bo mezuzah. Honor is shown only at entranceways, doorways that have a mezuzah." So the Gemara asks, Elo me'ata, maybe we should just a point of introduction to this little give and take in the Gemara, is that mezuzahs are placed al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha, on your doorways and your gateways. And you can infer from that, if it's not your gateway, it's a gateway to something of a holy nature. We call it God's gateway, a shul, a base medrash, something like that. Doesn't need to have a mezuzah from a Torah perspective, unless people live in those places. But if you have a shul that is, let us say, a synagogue that's open only for praying purposes, technically speaking, it does not need a mezuzah. So the quote that Ravin just made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan was that you show honor only with regard to entranceways that have a mezuzah. So now we would infer the is ba mezuzah in the less ba mezuzah lo, that honor is shown only when you're entering a doorway that literally has a mezuzah on it, and otherwise no, then you don't have to show honor. Elamiato beis hakneses or beis hamedrash the less bu mezuzah hachinami de mechavdin. If that be the case, then the entrance to a shul or the entrance to a study hall, a Torah study hall, which doesn't need to have a mezuzah, then you don't have to show honor. And it's ironic in this particular case, they. Abaye and Ravin were entering a Beit Kedishto. It said so in the Gemara, just a couple lines above. So are we to assume that since Rabbi Yochanan says the only time you show honor to the greater person is only where a doorway where there is a mezuzah, that would seem to exclude a shul or a Beis Medrash? So the Gemara answers no. You have to restate Rabbi Yochanan. Ela Emo. Rather, what Rabbi Yochanan communicated was bePesach haRoy leMezuzah, a doorway that's structured in such a way that it's fit to have a mezuzah if it were, let's say, a house. But the main point for us is, as Rashi says, klomar beknisas kopsachim, this Gemara is really saying, what Rabbi Yochanan is really saying, you show honor when you're entering all entranceways, limute drachim uprotsas. All we're trying to exclude by this is to the entering some type of showing honor on the road or entering places that may be fenced, but they're like large breaches in fences that you don't have to show honor when you're entering such an enclosure. But all structures, buildings will have what's called a Pesach HaRoy LeMezuzah. So whether halacha requires a mezuzah there or not is not relevant to this particular halacha of showing honor. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.